If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up to the 122nd Psalm. The 122nd Psalm. This particular psalm is it's called a Song of Ascents. And there's about 15 of these, and they're located from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And what that particular reference is, means that this was a psalm that was to be sung by the Levites. And in the temple area, and remember, this is written by David, and so it's before the temple's built. So it's kind of a prophetic songwriting thing that then became a practice of the temple worship. And what would happen would be there was a very wide stairway in the center of the temple area. And these Levites with their musicians would stand on this stairway. And so there was ascent physically getting higher as the song was sung. But then also, it began in a very low voice and very low notes. And these psalms would be sung that way as a call to worship and as a part of the worship of the Jews as they would get together and as they would begin to worship. These songs were also sung by the children of Israel when they would begin to make their ascent up to Jerusalem as a reminder of how God has freed them from Egypt and that type of thing. But this particular psalm is an interesting psalm in that it is a crying out for the people to pray for Jerusalem. And, you know, folks, it's important that we today continue to pray for Jerusalem and that we pray that God would bless and protect the nation of Israel. And as we look at this particular psalm, I want us to kind of put ourselves not just in the position of Israel, but also what are we to do in modern day times regarding Israel. And so let's look what the psalmist has to say here. Psalm 122, beginning with verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, as we begin the psalmist, and remember, this is prophetic, in that David is looking forward to the building of the temple. Remember, he was not granted the privilege of building the temple. That privilege was given to his son Solomon. But David, in his final years of leadership, did a huge amount of stockpiling, if I can use that phrase, of putting together all of the all of the materials that were going to be needed for the building of the temple there in Jerusalem. And even though he wasn't going to be given the privilege of worshiping there and of building it, he was still involved in putting together those materials. And so as he is writing this particular psalm, he is looking forward to that time when that temple is going to be built. And he's saying, man, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He so looked forward to Israel having that gifted place of worship. A place that God had established, that the dimensions God had established, the materials that God had established, and he was granted the privilege of being able to put some of those materials together. And so as he begins this, he begins by acknowledging this is a moment of joy. And you see within Jewish worship, much of their worship dealt with praise and with joy and with honoring God. And as they would worship, their worship would be very liturgical, but it would be very worshipful. And it would be filled with a lot of moments of joy. And you'll notice that in some of the Psalms, you will come across a word, Selah, S-E-L-A-H. And that has a couple of meanings, all right? It means this is either a place of dramatic pause. If this is for example, some of the Psalms are poetic readings that they would use in worship. And if that was the case, if it was one of those Psalms that was a poetic reading, then that means that there would be a dramatic pause here for the people to reflect on what has just been read. And then if it was a musical psalm and one that was used in singing in worship, the word Selah would mean here is a musical interlude. And so the singing would stop, the music would be playing, and people, again, were to reflect during that time on what they had just sung. You know, I think that God is dishonored when we don't pay attention to what we sing. I really do. I think that whenever we are singing, we should be paying attention to the words and singing in a way of worship and praise that honors God. And if we're not doing that, folks, we're just going through the motions. And we're not really worshiping. I'm going to tell you, worship doesn't have to be people yelling and shouting and running and doing all of that kind of thing. Worship is simply the expression of the heart in passion for God and in passion for what he wants to do. Sometimes worship is just very silent and is very quiet and is very reserved. Sometimes there is call for the hallelujahs. Sometimes there is call for the praise the Lord's. But sometimes there's just quiet reflection in our worship. And in the Jewish mindset, they actually programmed those moments into their worship. And so when you see that word Selah, that's what's happening. That's being programmed there as a moment of reflection as to what has just been sung. Now, if we're singing and not paying any attention, what are we going to reflect on? Well, let's see. I wonder how the Bills will do today. Hopefully the Yankees will win. I wonder which restaurant will give the quickest service so that we can get there quicker. And I hope this preacher doesn't go too long today. I'm really tired. But if we are paying attention and entering in to genuine worship, our heart and our mind in those moments of Selah reflect on what we've just sung and what we are expressing to God in worship. Or else we're not worshiping. You know what? I don't think God gives a rip about how the Bills do today. I really don't. Or the Yankees. I don't think he cares that much about the restaurant and whether or not we'll get there quickly. But I think he does care about our worship and where our hearts and our minds are. David says, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. There was joy. Now look at the second verse. As he continues here, he says, our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Remember, the city of Jerusalem is a very, very instrumental part of the chosenness of God. You know, that's why there's a new Jerusalem, right? There's not going to be a new Philadelphia. There's not going to be a new Laodicea. There's not going to be a new Sardis. There's not going to be a new whatever. But there's going to be a new Jerusalem. The city of God. The place of worship. The place that is central in where the throne of God is. And as we look at this, we need to understand that in the Jewish mindset, Jerusalem was everything. And it still is. And that's why even today, it is an embarrassment to the children of Israel to have at the site of the temple a mosque. What an embarrassment. The temple to a false god erected where the temple of God needs to be. That'll change. And that'll be taken care of. But to this point, it's not. And we can actually help. Not with bombs, but by bombing heaven with prayers. Pray for Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. You see, we're given a promise if we'll do that. And that promise is the blessing of God. But that second verse talks about this. Look, our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together. It is compacted together, look at this, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel. A place of declaration for Israel. And then look at how David views this temple area and the city of Jerusalem in his perspective as he's looking at this prophetic moment. Look at verse 5. For there thrones were set for judgment. You see, in David's eyes, it's already happened. You see, he already envisions what this is. And it says that for there thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Folks, these thrones, if you will, that were set for judgment, worship of God and judgment often go hand in hand. And as you read in particular through the Old Testament, you will see that when God's people genuinely worshiped, the enemies of God were judged. When there was need for military victory and the people brought themselves together in worship, God granted military victory. And these thrones that were set up were actually thrones to be able to settle disputes in areas such as murder and things like that. And look with me, if you would, at Deuteronomy chapter 17. Beginning with verse 8, we're going to read through verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. God is in the process of establishing how rule and law ought to be established within the nation of Israel, okay? And the word says this, if any case is too difficult for you to decide between one kind of homicide or another, between one kind of lawsuit or another, between one kind of assault or another, being cases of dispute in your courts, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And where is that? It's the temple. All right? So you shall come to the Levitical priest, or the judge who is in office in those days, and you shall inquire of them, and they will declare to you the verdict in the case. And you shall do according to the terms of the verdict, which they declare to you from the place which the Lord chooses. And you shall be careful to observe according to all that they teach you, according to the terms of the law which they teach you, and according to the verdict which they tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside from the word which they declare to you to the right or to the left. And the man who acts presumptuously by not listening to the priest who stands there to serve the Lord your God, nor to the judge, that man shall die. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. Then all the people will hear and be afraid and will not act presumptuously again. You see, In the establishment here, for there the thrones were set for judgment. The Levitical priests at that time actually had to be lawyers and judges to make the determinations of law cases. Was this an accidental death or was this murder? What should be the case here? What should we do? And it was tied in with the house of the Lord. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Isn't that an interesting connection that is made? And you want to know something? Judgment from God begins at the house of the Lord too. And when we worship Him falsely, we are judged. Our worship needs to be honorable and honoring to God. Now, look at what continues here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Folks, do you remember there was a covenant that was made with Abraham? And God declared it to be an eternal covenant. What does that mean? That means it's not going to end. And a part of that covenant said this, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. It's exactly what David is talking about here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem because there's eternal values at stake here. And there's blessings that can come about because of that. God's promise, look, if you support Israel, I'll bless you. I don't know what you think about what's going on in our world today. But I'm going to tell you, I am scared to death for our nation because of our turning our back on Israel. When our president stands up and declares, go back, give these people the Gaza Strip, give them all of this land. Doesn't matter that God promised that to you. Give it back for the sake of peace. Man, I hope they don't do that. And I hope that we get some people with intestinal fortitude and a backbone that will stand up and say, we will support Israel no matter what. We don't care how many threats come to us by these godless Muslims. We don't care about that kind of thing. We will support Israel. And as David is looking, he is actually offering not just a blessing for the brothers, the Israelites, who pray for Jerusalem, but he also says, and friends, those who are outside of the Jewish tradition, but they pray for the peace of Israel. They'll be blessed too. Folks, God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be blessed by God than cursed by God. And so it's important that we lift Israel up in our prayers. It's important that we pay attention to what God wills and what He loves. Pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the reestablishment of the temple. Pray. Pray. And when we do that, God blesses and blesses and blesses. It's 8 o'clock. Would you please stand with me? We're going to close in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we come before you. And just as David looked forward prophetically to the establishment of the temple, we look forward prophetically to the rebuilding of the temple. We look forward prophetically for the reestablishment of Israel as your chosen people. We look forward to eternally being together in your house. And so, Lord, help us to be glad when people say, let's go to the house of the Lord. Help us to be involved when we enter into worship and not just viewers and onlookers of worship, but actual participants. Father, help us to honor you. And Lord, remind us to daily to pray for the peace of Israel. Help us to be a support and an encouragement there so that we can be blessed by you. Now, Father, we love you and we thank you for your many demonstrations of grace to us. For it's in your glorious and holy name we pray. Amen.